Welcome to Hey You Geeks. I'm Tony Nunes.
And I'm Rick Ribello.
And today is our Geek Certified Summer Movie Preview. We're going to be going over a lot of the movies you can see from May through August. Mostly geek movies, comic book movies, science fiction, things like that. And then after we go over our movie reviews and our picks and what we're excited for, we're going to talk a little bit in closing about the Batman Superman trailer that came out last week. We did not have a chance to talk about that yet, and I'm sure we have some very strong opinions about that trailer. So,
and the gangsta Joker.
Oh, I forgot about the Jared Leto Joker too. Yes, so we'll do some DC. I hate to say DC bashing, but we'll do some DC bashing after that. So we're gonna start on a lighter note, though. This weekend, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are going to Age of Ultron, as am I, and I'm sure you are too, Rick.
Yeah.
So that's the first big summer movie, even though it's technically coming out in spring. So I think that's a good place to pick up. We're just going to go over a bunch of different movies, talk about why we're excited about them, why we're not, hopes, dreams, all of that good stuff.
Yeah.
So Age of Ultron, Joss Whedon is back. I mean, obviously, we've talked about this movie quite a bit in the last year, just, you know, speculating on it and everything anyway. But I'm pretty excited about it. I don't know. I don't feel as excited as I should be for some reason, and I don't know why. I think some of the early reviews that I've read have said that it's good, but it's not as good as the first one. So it's kind of diminished my excitement a little bit. But what about you?
Well, I think part of the reason why we're seeing these reviews the way they are is not because it's a bad film, is I really think we're starting to get superhero fatigue. I really think there's only so many times you can see somebody getting thrown through a building and have it still have, no pun intended, impact. And like I said, even though I have no doubt it's going to be a great film, but I'm just wondering if we've starting to go to the well a little too many times here. So that may be my concern.
Yeah, no, it's a valid concern. You know, we've talked about that bubble bursting so many times on this podcast. Right. And like you say, you can do a lot of new things with comic book movies and superhero movies. I think maybe the future of it is going towards what we talked about last week with Daredevil, something like that, the long form storytelling and things like that. Maybe will work a little better than the wham bam thank you ma'am movies. You know, it remains to be seen, but I know what you're saying. And I read a review, or actually I didn't read any reviews because I hate spoilers, but I read a headline of a review or a tweet or something somewhere, and I can't attribute who it came from, but they said that very thing. They said, you know, this could be the beginning of the end of superhero movies. They didn't say it was a bad movie, but I believe that that's the point that they probably make in that review, which I'll track it down after I see the movie.
Well, hey, you know what? One of the things I blame for this, I mean, nothing's happened, so I shouldn't say blame for this because you can't say that there's anything wrong, but you know, one of the things I might attribute to these feelings is that having so many origin stories over and over and over and over again, I mean, after a while, it's like, okay, so so-and-so's parents died, and now they got this, and some sort of nuclear thing that gave him this, and that's the thing. I just think that, you know, you can kind of exploit the fact that we see a lot of these stories fairly similar over and over again. I mean, I'm sure it'll do well. I hope it does well, and obviously, but that is definitely a valid concern.
Yeah, I mean, it's a movie I've been excited for. I wouldn't say it's the movie I'm most excited for this year because I mean Star Wars, but you know, I really wouldn't even say it's the number one movie I'm most excited for this summer. You know, it sounds crazy to say, but there's two movies that I'm actually more excited about, and we'll get to those. And you know, I never expected myself to say that because I love the first Avengers so much, and I love everything Marvel does.
Right.
But I think the fact that there are a couple other movies, and which, you know, we'll talk about why this is when we get to those.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that there are a couple movies I'm more excited about, you know, that in itself shows a little fatigue on my end.
You also have to factor in, it's like, okay, this team, we've had, this is the second team movie. There are 3 Iron Man movies, 2 Captain America movies, 2 Thor movies. So this group, in total, we've now seen what? Let's see, 9 movies?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a bit much.
It is.
That's a bit much. I mean, when you add it up, you know, this group has had 9 movies.
And Guardians of the Galaxy, I think there was a lot of concern when that movie came out about Marvel jumping the gun, or that, you know, is that movie going to fail? And it was so popular. But I think in some ways it jumped the gun in that it took us to this other place with this whole other side of superhero storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that may have spoiled these other movies for us, because I think Guardians of the Galaxy is so different and so great that going back to some of the same, you know, we might be a little tired of it.
Well, but the thing is Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, is a balls out science fiction movie. And we don't get many of those. You know, we don't get many space movies anymore.
No, we don't.
Galactic movies anymore. So when that came out last summer, it was like, oh, you know, at least, I guess technically it's a superhero movie because it's Marvel, but it's not a superhero movie. So that when you went to see it, it was kind of fresh. And plus the group in it was also fresh. So it didn't feel heavy. It didn't feel like we've been through this quite a bit.
No, it didn't. And you know what the sad thing to me is about the potential for fatigue or a burst bubble or what have you in the superhero genre, that fatigue could hit its high point at the point where we finally see superhero-led movies. I mean, female superhero-led movies, I should say.
Right.
You know, we might be at that fatigue point at the time that Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman finally come out, which is another reason I wish that they'd really get on with making those movies and kind of prioritize them over.
I know, but
Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah,
I'd rather see Captain Marvel.
Right. I don't know anybody who kind of wants to see Thor Ragnarok.
I don't either.
I barely anybody wanted to see the last one.
Yeah, that was a weird choice. Thor Ragnarok. I was surprised when that one was announced. Civil War. I'm excited about that one.
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump into May now. I think the first movie that kind of screams out to me as far as having some kind of geek edge to it would be Maggie. Mm-hmm. Have you seen a preview for this movie, Maggie?
No, I have not.
Okay, it's a zombie movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Abigail Breslin.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I have.
You've seen that?
Yes, I have.
I'm very curious about this movie. It looks super dark.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am a huge Schwarzenegger fan. Huge. I mean, growing up, I had posters all over, and, you know, and he was my favorite by far of all the 80s action heroes and everything. So even at his worst, I love Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so quotable and great.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I've liked some of his recent movies. I like the one, I guess it's not that memorable because I can't remember the name of it, but the car chase one, The Last Stand, I believe it was called.
Yeah.
That was good. This one looks a little, I don't know, it looks like a rental to me.
It's another zombie movie.
It's another zombie movie. It has a bit of a different take
to
the whole zombie genre, it appears to, but I'm curious about it nonetheless.
You know, it's. I know I've talked to you in the past about me and zombie movies. You know, most of my life, there's never been a bigger zombie fan. And for those of you who don't know, I've been running horror film festivals now since, I think, 2004. And I've seen such a dearth of zombie films, I can't even begin to express the amount of zombie films I've watched. So it's tough for me to get up for a zombie film now. It just really is.
Yeah. No, I understand. Having made a zombie film, mm-hmm. And miraculously having it sold and distributed, even when that movie came out, which is called Zombie Allegiance, not to plug my own stuff, but even when that movie came out, I was getting sick of zombie movies. Right. So, yeah, I love The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. I think they're doing a good job most of the time. But yeah, as far as movies and things like that, it's definitely tired. There's far and few between when it comes to original stories and zombie films.
Right.
There was one last year or the year before. I am terrible with names. It was like a teenage zombie film, mm-hmm. where one of the zombies starts having kind of conscious thought again. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the name of it, but that one was really good. But outside of that, yeah, there hasn't been a great zombie movie in some time.
Very long time, yeah.
Yeah. So the next movie that I know we're going to jump to, I'm going to let you jump to, because mm-hmm. I know it's one that we're both... This is the one.
Oh, Mad Max?
Yeah, yeah. Mad Max Fury Road. This is the one that I'm probably second from Star Wars most excited about this year.
Oh, I agree. I second that. I'm psyched. And it's something where it's a style of movie we haven't seen in a very long time. I think the last one that we saw like this was, I'm trying to think, it was the British director. I'm trying to think of his name.
Oh, yeah, Neil Marshall.
Neil Marshall, yeah.
Yep, that was, I forget the name of the movie, but I know what you're talking about. He made that post-apocalyptic film.
Yeah, you just don't see these type of films. And especially, you know, Mad Max, it's been since, what, 84, 85?
Yeah.
So it was quite a long time.
Well, the best part of this whole, this new Mad Max movie, it's not a reboot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a reboot.
No, it's actually a
sequel.
Supposed to be in between.
Okay.
First and the second, I believe.
But that's not the best part. The best part is that George Miller wrote it and directed it. Because if they brought in somebody else, I don't think I'd be a quarter as much as excited as I am.
Because George Miller, I mean, he shoots action better than anybody. I mean, just, you know, you look at those Mad Max films, all three of them. The what he was able to do, you know, with the camera and the movement and everything else is just insane.
The practical effects are outrageous.
Yeah.
And this movie was super delayed, too.
That Neil Marshall movie was Doomsday, and it came out in 2008.
Okay, yep.
So, yeah, it's been a while. It's been 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, there's, what's the other movie? The Book of Eli. I really like that movie, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's another great post-apocalyptic. But outside of those two, there haven't been a great deal. This, though, I don't know. In my opinion, the first trailer that, I don't know if it was a teaser or a trailer. I think it was a teaser, but it was incredible. That mm-hmm. first teaser that came out a few months back was, it's to this day, it's the best thing I've seen this year. I mean, mm-hmm. it's better than any new movie I've seen this year.
Right.
It just blew my mind. It was high octane. Oh man, that's a terrible pun. I went there. But no, you know, it's like it was supercharged. It had that classical rock music mix, and it had all those George Miller imprints as far as the shots and the zaniness of it. They had a couple wide angle shots on guys' faces, you know. I'm very excited that Warner Brothers didn't strip away some of that craziness. Mm-hmm. So we have that George Miller style because the Mad Max movies were nothing if not a little zany.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they got zanier. A lot of people bash Beyond Thunderdome. I love all three of the movies. Right. So, I mean, I like the zaniness.
Well, I mean, yeah, Thunderdome was an attempt to get a broader audience.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. But, yeah, I mean, it's it's just, I'm glad to see it is the way it is. And I'm hoping, I just can't wait to see how it goes. And I think that Tom Hardy is going to be great. I think it's a very good casting on their part as far as picking him to be in it. So I'm
it is. It's excellent casting. Yeah, we know Mel Gibson couldn't do it again. Right. I mean, he probably could have and would have. Mm-hmm. But no studio of Warner Brothers size is going to take a gamble, unfortunately, right. To hire.
Yeah,
in an industry that is diverse and governed by a lot of people that Mel Gibson bashed and said terrible things about. Yeah. He's not gonna come back from that one.
No, he is not. He is most certainly not going to.
No. But Tom Hardy is...
And you know what? Rightfully so.
Rightfully so, indeed. Indeed.
I can't... I'm not going to back Mel on that play.
No, he was absolutely in the wrong.
Totally.
You know, he's made some great movies. He was amazing in the 80s.
Yep.
But, you know, that stuff is inexcusable, so...
Yep.
Time to move on with Tom Hardy.
Yep.
And Tom Hardy is like you said, it's a great choice.
Absolutely.
He's a great because he can act and he has the look, and I'm excited about that. But that
and Tom is one of those guys that, you know, when you see him in a movie and he's playing a tough character, like there's a lot of guys now that you're like, oh, you look at him and go, like, you know, it's kind of a soft guy playing a tough guy. But Tom Hardy is one of those legitimate, you know, tough guys out there.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, there's no, absolutely no question when you see him on screen that he is a badass.
No, he's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so the next movie, so Mad Max comes out May 15th.
Yep.
And that, I'm probably going to pre-order my tickets for that one.
Yep.
I pre-ordered my tickets for Age of Ultron, too, but
yep.
The next movie I think we should mention... because I'm very opposed to, is this Poltergeist remake that comes out May 22nd. I don't get it. I don't.
Yeah.
Some of these remakes, there's literally a scene in the trailer, too, where they have the little girl saying Poltergeist in a menacing way.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that in itself, it just shows that these movies are just pure branding, and they're... A lot of these remakes are, you know, they're terrible.
It's one of those why God why deals. It is.
Poltergeist is a perfect movie.
Well, the thing is, it's a film that was shadow directed by Steven Spielberg.
Yes, it was more than shadow directed by Steven Spielberg.
But the thing is that if Spielberg did it, why, you know?
Don't like touch something, Spielberg.
It's like saying, you know what I want to do? I'm going to go pay a Mona Lisa.
Or it's like saying, I'm going to go out and remake Jaws.
Right.
I mean, it's not as extreme,
good luck with that.
Good luck, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have another Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I love that movie. Don't. Well, Deep Blue Sea is great.
Well, it was recently on How Did This Get Made?
Yes, it was.
It was such a phenomenal, phenomenal episode.
It was. Oh, God, I love that show. They're doing Face Off next week.
Oh, God, that's going to be world class.
It's going to be great.
And if you listen to any other podcast, please listen to How Did This Get Made.
It's really good.
It's so worth everybody's time.
It's so funny.
But yeah, like I said, you know, you're up against Spielberg. I mean, what, you know?
It's dumb. It's dumb.
What are you doing?
That movie is up against another movie that comes out May 22nd, which is the movie I'm looking forward to second most this summer, and that's Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Now, when the whole story of this movie remained a mystery until very recently, it's still pretty much a mystery. But we only in the last few weeks got some glimpses of what it's all about and what Tomorrowland is. This movie, for so many reasons, has me super excited. You know, Mad Max has me very excited, but this one has me excited for different reasons because I love Disney. I'm a big Disney World fanatic. So, you know, the whole concept of Walt Disney's idea for Tomorrowland and a future of innovation and things like that, mm-hmm. how they're going to work that into the storyline is exciting. But one of the last previews had some shots, I think, from It's a Small World on the ride. And there's a little trap door that takes you into some other place that takes you to Tomorrowland and things like that. So there's theme park stuff blended into this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Brad Bird is the director. Very cool. He did the last Mission Impossible movie, which that movie blew my mind. So that's great. Brad Bird, I would argue, is one of the best directors working today. And he hasn't done a ton, but everything he's been doing has been very, very good. But the best part of this is it's a female-led fantasy sci-fi adventure movie, and we don't get many of those. So Britt Robertson is you know, basically leads this thing.
Right.
So, I mean, all of those things have me very excited, and Tomorrowland is looking really good.
Yeah. I mean, it looks different, I mean, at least. You know, it's some other type of thing, which I think is really important. So hopefully, it's got everything going for it. I mean, the cast is great. The director is great. I mean, it's just a matter of, let's just wait and see. You know, it's going to be fascinating. And it's got some mystery to it, which is another thing we just don't have anymore.
We don't.
You know, and in the age of, you know, spoilers and everybody being online and the whole yada, 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 it's hard to surprise us anymore. It's hard to give us something we're not expecting. So.
Well, I mean, part of that mystery is that, which is something we're losing sight of, is that it's an original story. So it's an original movie. It's not something that's based off of another movie or another property or anything like that. It's an original movie. So, you know, that gives it kind of the feel of the Goonies in the 80s or something like that, you know?
Well, I wouldn't go that far just yet, but let's wait and see.
Well, I don't know. You never know.
Yeah.
Could be.
We can hope.
We can hope. We can hope. Let's see. What is next? There's really nothing else in May. There's, at the end of May, there's a earthquake movie, another earthquake movie. Mm-hmm. With The Rock called San Andreas.
Yeah.
That looks okay, but...
Yeah, but, like, it's one of those movies where you go, who asked for another earthquake movie?
Well, after 2012, the movie about the luckiest people in the entire history of humankind, I don't know if I want to see another earthquake movie. Okay. That movie was ridiculous. Did you see 2012 with John Cusack? Know.
Oh, I saw a little bit of it.
Every part of that movie is them escaping from horrible doom.
Right.
And very narrowly escaping. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably go see San Andreas, though, just because my wife loves The Rock so much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love The Rock, too, but it's one of those movies, when it comes out on DVD or when it comes out on Netflix, I'll be psyched to watch. I'll definitely watch it then.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it kind of feels icky based on what happened in Nepal.
Yeah.
You know, a big budget action earthquake movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, sadly for them, you know, they were in the works long before Nepal happened.
So. Yeah, yep.
You know, and plus once you've invested all that money, I mean, what are you going to do?
I know. Well, let's see. Let's go into June now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first big one that kind of screams out to me in June is Jurassic World.
Right.
And that's another movie I'm very excited about. The previews look awesome.
Yeah.
A little silly.
Yeah.
But I think that works.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Chris Pratt movie, so I mean, and I enjoy him in anything. I was a big fan of Parks and Rec and obviously Guardians. So I think it'll be a good time. You know, Chris Pratt running around the jungle fighting dinosaurs. It sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. So.
And the premise that the theme park is open,
uh-huh.
And, you know, it's full of people, and they show a lot of the exhibits and things like that in the trailers. I mean, all of that, that whole aspect of it is cool and different.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I've liked all of the Jurassic Park movies. I really have. You know, they're all different as far as tone. They all have their strengths and weaknesses. You can never top Jurassic Park.
Right.
But, you know, they all bring something to the table. And who doesn't like seeing dinosaurs on the big screen?
Right.
But
I mean, in Jurassic Park, when it came out, was so different and, you know, kind of out of nowhere, and it was so special that it's you're never going to be able to, you know, recreate that.
Yeah, Jurassic Park was the movie that got me into wanting to make movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the one that did it. You know, I was a kid back in 94 when that came out, and that was it. I just said, oh, wow. I saw it 5 times in theaters. It's the only time up to that point that I've been to the theater and seen people screaming and reacting, and mm-hmm. you know, it was a whole communal experience going to the movies, and that kind of changed everything. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that's given me kind of an affinity for the whole Jurassic Park series. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I get excited. Nostalgia kicks in when I see a new Jurassic Park is coming.
Yeah.
So I'll be there. But let's see, what else do we have in June? There's some comedies in June that look okay, like Ted 2.
Yeah.
And then there's Paul Feig's new movie Spy with Melissa McCarthy and Jason Statham. That looks kind of funny.
Yeah, that could be fun. I enjoy Melissa McCarthy.
So. Yeah, I do too. She's all right, and I like Paul Feig.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say his last name?
I don't know. Feig.
Feig.
It's like the guy who runs Marvel. It's like, how do you say his name?
Yeah, exactly. Let's see, what else do we got in June? Inside Out. That's the first Pixar movie we've had in quite some time.
Yeah.
That's a movie I
know very little about it.
No? Have you seen a preview for it?
Not really, even though.
Well, Pete Docter, who I believe did Monsters, Inc.
Mm-hmm.
And I may be wrong there, but I'm pretty sure he did Monsters, Inc. Or maybe no. I don't know. He did The Incredibles. But the first couple of previews for this, you know, it's been a while since we've had a Pixar movie, but this one just, it looks okay to me, but it doesn't have that pull that Pixar usually has.
Well, it's also, I mean, it doesn't seem like they're, you know, merchandising it the same way either. They're not hearing much about it, so.
They're not, and, you know, the first couple of trailers, I'm not too sure about the story and where it goes and everything. But the first couple of trailers show that it's about a family, and the dad is portrayed as kind of a doofus, not fully there, kind of daydreaming and not paying attention to his wife and daughter in a couple of clips. And, you know, that kind of stuff is annoying. You know, that whole goofy, removed father image.
Right.
So it kind of made a lot of people in the Geek Dad crowd kind of angry. So that said, I have a little more faith.
What is it with dads in Pixar? I mean, we still don't know what happened to Andy's dad.
That's the thing. And in Up, yeah, that's a good point. We don't know what happened to Andy's dad.
Right.
In Up, the little kid, his dad doesn't ever show up, so he, you know, right. this older man kind of becomes his father figure.
Yeah.
The Incredibles has a great dad.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What the hell's going on over there?
What's up, Pixar? Pixar has some daddy issues.
I know it.
I don't know.
Jeez, weird.
John Lasseter, he maybe he has some issues with dads. I don't know.
Definitely strange.
I never thought about that until you just said that, but. Well, okay.
True.
So let's jump into July now. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're going to want to talk about the new Magic Mike movie.
Of course.
And we'll skip it.
Pops on my list.
Yeah, I knew it. we'll skip that one. All right, so July 1st, Terminator Genesis.
Yep.
The movie nobody wants.
Right.
I mean, nobody wants this. It looks... to me, the effects in this movie, from what I've seen in the previews, they don't look great.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't look like big budget to me.
Right.
And it's a bummer too, because Emilia Clarke, who's Daenerys,
yeah,
stars in this thing. Arnold Schwarzenegger is back, but they throw in so many lines that made the other movies popular, and they've done this with all the Terminator movies, but they do it so blatantly in the previews that this is just laughable to me. I have no desire to see this.
Yeah, it just looks like a cash grab. Yeah. You know, I mean, and the Terminator has been sort of a cash grab since the third one, I feel. Yeah, it just hasn't. After the second one, it just hasn't seemed, you know. Well, once James Cameron left, it's not.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just garbage since then. So.
It is, you're right, too. It is a cash grab. I mean, they threw in, you know, Emilia Clarke, they're throwing her in off of her popularity from Game of Thrones.
Right.
They threw in Matt Smith. You know, they're really trying to find that geek audience. Mm-hmm. But I think that they're missing the point that geeks are intelligent moviegoers who can see right through that.
And, absolutely.
You know, they're. I don't think they're going to buy as many tickets as Paramount might be hoping for.
Geeks want quality.
They want quality, exactly.
And they expect a high level of quality. They don't mess around.
Yep. So, it's true.
It's something we got to factor in.
It is. All right, the next movie in July, July 10th, Minions.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Geek Dad, so I feel we should talk about, you know, some of the kids' movies coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Despicable Me movies. Despicable Me 2 is hilarious. Yeah. Great time. My kids are super excited for Minions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're more excited about Minions than Inside Out at this point. So, yeah, I mean, I'll be there for that. And Michael Keaton is one of the voices in this movie.
Great.
So, yeah.
Get to hear a little manicness, a little Michael Keaton manicness.
Right.
Which is always good, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it looks like a lot of fun. And those Despicable Me movies are great. And I can't think of anybody who doesn't enjoy watching them. So.
No, they're fun. And people love the Minions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only fitting they have their own movie now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that movie's going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
A ton of money. Those Despicable Me movies make tons to begin with, but, you know, just having it based around the Minions, it's going to make a lot of money. I am willing to bet this is in the top three, if not two, of the summer as far as worldwide gross.
I agree. I mean, it's one of those things where it's so popular, it sort of prints its own money.
It does. It does. It
shouldn't have any issue.
Well, what do you think about Ant-Man, July 17th?
I mean, it's another movie. I think it's going to be a competent movie. I just don't know why I should want to see it. As a comic fan my whole life, there's certain books that I was just, whenever I look at them, I was just kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
And I have to say Ant-Man is way up on that list.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably unfair to say that, but I don't know what to say other than I just have a hard time giving a shit. I just have a hard time. I look at that and I'm just, part of me just, I don't know why, but I like Paul Rudd a lot.
I do too.
And I know they're going to write it well, so.
But you know, I like Paul Rudd in comedic roles.
Right.
And Edgar Wright directing Ant-Man is a far different movie than what we're going to get.
Right.
So, you know, I'm a little bitter about that whole loss of Edgar Wright. Because to this day, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, in my opinion, is one of the best comic movies ever. Because we're talking about, earlier in the show, about the bursting bubble of superhero movies.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Wright is one who can make a superhero movie that is different. So losing him, I feel like, and I don't know, we'll never know. But I haven't been very excited about Ant-Man, and the trailers look okay to me, but they haven't pulled me in. I'm not super excited about this one.
Yeah, I mean, Edgar Wright, it's a whole different, like you said, it's a whole different situation.
It is.
You know, with Edgar Wright, you're going to get a very entertaining movie.
Well, it's like the Guillermo del Toro Hobbit. You know, we would love to see that too.
Yeah, I'd love to see it because it would have only been one movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate when people get excited about a movie because of who's attached to direct, and then that falls apart. What about Pixels, which comes out July 24th? You saw the trailer for this, right?
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, I'm interested. It's a Chris Columbus film, and, you know, I think he's done a lot of great stuff.
He has.
I hate the cast.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't hate the cast.
I hate, yeah, I mean, the
I don't know. You say Adam Sandler and Kevin James, I'm like,
I agree. That's the thing. When I saw the preview, I think it looks fun.
Yeah.
I do. To hear me out here before you yell at me for this sentence halfway through it.
Right.
From the preview, I got kind of a Ghostbusters Men in Black vibe. But, you know, as far as the story itself.
Mm-hmm.
But, like you said, Adam Sandler, Kevin James are a far cry from Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, God.
Or Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith, you know. Yeah. Josh Gad and Peter Dinklage, I like both of them a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, once you get past those first two, you're fine. You know, Josh Gad, Peter Dinklage,
Adam Sandler, his movies aren't making that much anymore. He struck some kind of exclusive deal with Netflix.
I don't think movies have made money for, I would say almost a decade. I mean, he's had horrible.
And Kevin James, new Paul Blart Mall Cop sequel, has zero on Rotten Tomatoes, which I can't
imagine why.
That's a feat. I mean,
yeah.
Wow. That's something.
It sucks. It sucks.
It's so crazy.
I don't know. When that first movie came out and made money, I was like, there needs to be an investigation. It just makes no sense. Who the hell is watching this
thing? No, no. Yeah, so I don't know. Pixels is a tough one. Because there are parts of it, you know, that got me excited, and I was like, well, that's going to be fun. That's going to be a fun movie. And maybe it will, but I don't know.
Hey, just for shits and giggles, right? The movies that Sandler has coming out after Pixels, Hotel Transylvania 2 and Joe Dirt 2, Beautiful Loser.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and a movie called The Ridiculous Six.
Indeed.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Okay, let me read you like the last, let's see.
Wait, is it The Ridiculous, what's that movie with him, Kevin James, David Spade, all of those guys, Chris Rock?
Let's see, Adam Sandler, Will Forte, Taylor Lautner, Steve Buscemi, Danny Trejo. Yeah, this doesn't look like it. But let's just go the last 5 years, right? Let's just go since 2010. We're talking about not making money.
All right.
All right. 2010, he did Grown Ups, which I guess made a couple of bucks.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Then he made something called Just Go With It.
Nobody went with it, did they?
He was the voice of the Capuchin Monkey and Zookeeper. Then you had Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star. That have Jack and Jill, which is notorious.
Oh, man.
That's My Boy. Hotel Transylvania, which wasn't too awful. Here Comes the Boom. Grown Ups 2.
I haven't heard of a lot of these.
No. Blended. Men, Women, and Children. The Cobbler. Top 5. And Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Wow. Yeah. So, all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pixels, you could argue Pixels is the biggest movie in years then.
Yeah.
Oof.
It's kind of, you look at this, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Because like when you think about it, like Grown Ups was the last one I guess that's made money. Because I know Funny People didn't make any money, and Paul Blart won. He was the producer. Jesus Christ! Like wow, you could really go back.
Ugh. Well, Kevin James too. I mean, another lineup of crappy movies.
Yeah, I've never found Kevin James funny for a minute.
So. I liked his stand up before he was an actor.
He's one of those guys, I don't know. I didn't get it.
No.
Him and Frank Caliendo, two people that I'm like, okay.
Ugh, okay. All
right, I guess they're funny. Okay.
Yeah. What's it? Rob Schneider, too.
Yeah.
Who's in every Adam Sandler movie. Mm-hmm. Ugh, God. Well, we'll see what Pixels, you know, what happens with that. Mm-hmm. Luckily, the next week there's the new Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, which looks phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I've loved all of these Mission Impossible movies. I really have. Especially the last one, Ghost Protocol, was the best. I mean, when they brought in Simon Pegg, there was kind of a lighter tone came across the whole franchise, and that tone fits perfectly. Mm-hmm. And I get excited, you know, as crazy as Tom Cruise might be in real life, he's a fantastic actor. Right. And at his age, you know, he's one of the best action heroes we have. And he does his own stunts, and he's done some crazy stuff for this new Mission Impossible movie.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy stuff. So, this is another one I'm very, very excited for this summer.
Yeah, all of the I can't think of any Mission Impossible movie that wasn't enjoyable. So
no, they're all great.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Mission Impossible game for N64?
Yep.
That was even that was great.
Yeah.
So much fun. You have to make the masks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Great stuff. But it's not a, you know, there's a new Bond coming out later this fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Bond, but you're probably going to hate me for this. But I'm more excited about the new Mission Impossible than the new Bond. I am.
I don't hate you. I disagree with you. But
all right, good.
Because you got Christoph Waltz in a James Bond movie. I'm sorry.
No, it's true. That's going to be great.
It's hard not to get up for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I don't know. So at the end of July, I don't know if you know about this movie. I got a press release about it from Warner Brothers some time ago. It's supposed to come out in the fall, but they moved it to the summer. There's a sequel to National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yes.
Called Vacation. It's not a reboot, although in some ways you could say it's a reboot in some strange ways, but it's not. It's about Rusty, the son, who's grown up and played now by Ed Helms.
Yeah.
He takes his family, and they go back to Wally World before it's closing. This movie, some clips or something showed at CinemaCon in Vegas last week, which is the big National Association of Theater Owners conference.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some great stuff about those clips. It's supposed to be, you know, it's raunchy and hilarious and everything it should be. And it, you know, it has Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, they're back and you know, they're going to show up playing, reprising their roles and things like that. So
yeah,
I'm excited about this one because I've loved all those National Lampoon's movies. They're just a fun time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I can't wait to see a preview for it. I can't believe we haven't.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out on July 31st, but we will, I'm sure.
I hope so, too. Yeah, I saw a commercial for it not that long ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
I have to look because I've been waiting for something.
Even though Ed Helms...
I like Ed Helms. I think Ed Helms is hilarious. Really? Yeah, I do. I'm a big Ed Helms fan.
Okay.
He hasn't been given a lot to work with. He was great in The Office. He was good in Hangover 1. The other Hangover movies are terrible, though. So, outside of that, he hasn't been given a lot. So, this could be a good breakout for him.
Okay.
We'll see.
We'll see. Hopefully.
Now, this brings us into August. And the first big movie of August is Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've yet to be excited for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last trailer they put out, I was like, okay, well, this is okay. I mean, it has nothing, it's still way off the reservation, but it looked okay. But it's not something I'm going to go and plunk down $15 to watch.
Yeah.
For one thing, I think it's going to be in the dollar movie theaters within 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know. I think that movie is one of those movies that's really going to suffer from too much comic books.
Yeah, it might. I don't know. This movie has some good stuff behind it. It has Josh Trank is directing it. And I don't know if you saw the movie that he did with, oh my God, what is that movie called? He did a superhero movie, but it really wasn't a superhero movie, with Max Landis. Chronicle. Did you see Chronicle?
Yes.
That was a great movie. It was very original and well done. So, you know, he's an original director. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. Simon Kinberg did a draft of the screenplay. I like some of the stuff he does. But the cast, there's no huge names in the cast. Miles Teller is fairly known because he did that. He was in Whiplash.
Right.
He's also in that cancer movie. I don't know the name of it. I call it the cancer movie because I'm a terrible human being. You know what I'm talking about, though, right? The girl that gets cancer.
Fault in Our Stars.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible person. I'm sorry.
But
yeah, I mean, that movie is pretty well known, so
yeah.
It could do okay.
The girls, women love movies about cancer. I don't know what it is. They just enjoy it. Like, women love that movie.
The book is extraordinarily popular. The book is supposed to be very good. I've heard it's very good.
Yeah.
So who knows? But Fantastic Four, I don't know. In my mind, Fantastic Four, because these trailers look a little dark. In my mind, Fantastic Four is one of the lighter. It should have kind of a lighter tone.
Mm-hmm.
The campiness of the first Fantastic Four movies they did was going in the right direction. It just didn't get there because the cast was atrocious.
Right.
I think The Thing looks pretty cool in this one.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought I liked that, but I don't know. But I'm not excited about this one at all. I probably will not see this in theaters.
I mean, I'm not even going to rent it. It's going to be one of those. It's going to be one of those. On a Saturday afternoon, if I'm really bored and flipping through my Netflix, and I see it, I'll be like, oh, "All right."
It's what I call an HBO movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's on HBO on Saturday night. I'll watch it.
Yeah,
that's where I watch a lot of the movies that I have no desire to see.
Yeah,
and most of the time they don't thrill me.
I agree, 100%.
Let's see, what else do we have in August? There's Straight Outta Compton. It's not a geek movie per se, but it looks awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
NWA movie.
Got the band from Uncle.
Yeah, has there been a preview for that yet?
Yeah.
Because I love Guy Ritchie. I'm a big Guy Ritchie fan.
I know, but it's one of those movies that why do they make it? I don't even get why.
Yeah, but Guy Ritchie, I don't know. It could be good.
No, it could be good, but why is Guy Ritchie making The Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
I am not really familiar with The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
It's a show, right? A TV show?
Yeah, it's a very old British-American show, early James Bond sort of ripoff type thing. But
it's like, you know, it's like the Green Hornet movie.
Yeah, but, it's...
But I don't know.
Those movies never make money. That's why I don't get it. It's like, you know, I think Mission Impossible is probably the exception.
Yeah.
But when you look at all the other, like, remake of 60s spy movies and shows and stuff like that, it's like, and I'm sure they were thinking that they're probably thinking it's going to be like the Mission Impossible thing.
But maybe. I don't know. Well, it doesn't have any big stars either. And we can use this as our pivot point for our next discussion.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it stars Henry Cavill,
right,
who is best known, of course, for Man of Steel.
Antichrist Superman.
Yes. So now we can go into our conversation about, it's called Dawn of Justice, right?
Right.
Dawn of Justice.
I don't even know why it's called that anymore.
All right, so anybody who hasn't seen it yet, the Dawn of Justice teaser finally came out. I mean, first of all, this was 2 days after the new Star Wars teaser came out.
Right.
And it leaked somehow. It was a really crappy leak. It was filmed on a cell phone. It was terrible quality, and it went up all over the internet, and lots of people saw it. which is not a good... I mean, this happened with Avengers, Age of Ultron. It's happened with a few things where leaks happen before the studios get a trailer out. It's amazing that trailer leaks are a thing now, but they are. But usually the studios get ahead of it. So the Avengers thing happened. The studio immediately said, okay, we're just going to put out the trailer now. And they did. Warner Brothers sat on it for way too long. So way too many people saw the not great version of it. So by the time the real version came along, people already had a lot of opinions, and you know, it didn't help its case, that's for sure. But that's all beyond the point. The point is the content of the trailer itself.
Antichrist Superman.
Antichrist Superman.
Yeah. I don't, obviously Zack Snyder hates Superman at a level that is hard to explain or comprehend. Because, first off, I don't see how you look at this trailer and go, I can't wait to take my kids to see this movie.
Oh, God, no. It is no. I mean, this goes back again, and we keep touching on this every week because, I mean, it's a summer movie season. This is what happens. But the dark and the light superhero debate we had a few weeks ago,
right.
this is it at its peak.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, right here, okay?
Well, I don't know. I'm wondering if the Joker was actually the tippity top.
I don't think it was, because I don't think we have enough context to go along with that yet, with Jared Leto's Joker picture. Right. And you know what? I didn't hate that picture as much as a lot of people did.
Yeah.
I'm giving it a bit of the benefit of the doubt there. You know, it's not great, that's for sure. He looks like a thug version of jokes of the Joker.
I definitely the Juggaloo Joker.
The Juggaloo Joker, and he looks more like looks more like one of Joker's minions and one of the the Batman Arkham games.
The Joker would not have the word deranged tattoo on his forehead.
Or didn't he have like a grill in his
mouth?
Yeah,
he had a grill.
I mean, that in itself was a little too much. Right. He reminded me of one of the henchmen in the Arkham games.
Yeah.
And now, we have a new Arkham game coming out in June, and those games are great. They're really dark.
Which will be much better than these movies.
They will. Because Batman can't... I'm not going to say Batman should be dark, because I think Tim Burton did a good balance.
Batman should be dark, but this whole Antichrist Superman thing is... I can't...
Superman should not be like that.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Why? Why?
The whole teaser, it kind of kept cutting back to this, a statue, and it eventually showed false god written across his chest, and it was a really terrible looking effect too, but just the buildup of to that, it was bizarre. It felt like some kind of fan cut to me. Didn't feel like it was the real preview for the movie.
Right.
There's nothing big about it to me. It was just dark. Literally dark too. It was hard to see.
The big part's supposed to be Batman asking Superman if he bleeds.
Yeah, but
telling him he will.
I don't know. It just none of it, not a second of it drew me in. Nothing. Not even the Batman, like, armor suit.
Well, Ben Affleck looked like a mixture of constipated and bemused.
Yeah.
That close-up of his face. Like, it was hard to even gauge what that was. He looks like he's trying too hard to brood.
Yeah.
He's kind of over-brooding, which... I don't know. The whole thing just looks... I'll never forget, you know, the great... Patton Oswalt, when he was talking about having a conversation with George Lucas, and Lucas would say, you know, we're going to show Boba Fett as a little kid, what do you think? And Patton would say, I think that all just sounds like shit to me, and that's how I feel about this trailer. It all just looks like shit to me, all of it. It's like, there's nothing about it that I'm like, oh yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, There's like a weird shot of Superman with some people in like, I don't know, what was it, like clown makeup or weird masks or something. I guess maybe it's his death cult now. He has a death cult. I don't know.
Sure, why not?
And then there's like a shot of some people bowing down to him.
Yeah, soldiers.
Soldiers bowing down to him. Growing up, Superman was my absolute favorite superhero. Right. And all of that came from the original Christopher Reeve Superman. You know, they're very bright, vivid movies. The tone is perfect. Superman should be light. Batman should be dark. That's how they work in the whole DC universe. This, however, I don't know. I don't see any of the light there. I just see dark.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was perplexed by this. I mean, I didn't have a lot of faith to begin with. I don't hate Man of Steel, but you could see what it was leading up to.
Right. It's just not fun, you know. And what Richard Donner was able to do with the original Superman film and the portion of the sequel that he made was... gave you this world that, and Donner, you know, used that word verisimilitude. You know, he had that sign up in the office that verisimilitude, you know. Even though it's fake, you want people to believe that there's something about it. There's something about it that's real.
Yeah.
That's grounded in reality, you know. And Christopher Reeve was also able to play those two characters so well as far as having fun with it, you know. When he was Superman, you knew he was very authoritarian. He was very strong. When he wasn't, you know, he was this goofy, obviously slapstick sort of character. And it had such a different feel to it. It was fun. It was enjoyable. It had everything it needed to have. You know, they did go to the well with Lex Luger way too many times in that series.
But, yeah, they did.
You know, I mean, I can't remember if he was in the third one, but he was in at least three out of four. This is just crap to me. It's a waste. And, you know, I thought this was bad, and then when that Joker picture came out, I'm like, they're just out of their minds over there right now. I don't know what they're thinking.
No, they're. If the bubble is gonna burst, they're gonna be the ones holding the needle. Right. You know, they're gonna be the. I don't know.
They've earned it. I mean, they've turned their back on.
In comics as well. I don't read a lot of DC comics anymore. I've given up most of them. And from what I'm hearing from people who are, and I know some people who spend a lot of money and they read all of them, they're almost at their wit's end, you know, with things, with everything. It's crazy. For such an iconic company to just kind of throw in the towel, and I don't know that they're.
Well, I would say they're throwing in the towel. I just think that they just don't get it.
They don't get it. You're right.
They have no sense of proportion. You know, it's like, yeah, it should be a little dark. It should be a little fun too. But to them, it's either ultra dark. Or it's Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no proportion. There's no balance at all.
They're missing the whole audience statistics of, you know, people, they're thinking they're going to get that older 18 to 30 male crowd, which is has long been the sought-after demographic for movies. But that's not the case anymore. You have this much wider range, and women and men, you know, are going equally. So I think that they're still kind of holding on to that old way of thinking about who's going to the movies. So they're kind of tailoring these movies in a dark way, thinking this is what teenage boys want. They want dark, brooding action, and it's just not the case anymore. So I just think that they're still living in the days of The Matrix. Mm-hmm. back in the early 2000s, 99, what have you. And they just have not caught up like Marvel has.
Right. I agree.
They can't find that balance.
Or they put something out like Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Which is a mess.
Yep. It is.
Once again, no sense of proportion. It's like you know, should we have kind of a funny lead? Yeah. Well, let's not have a goofy lead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you have with Ryan Reynolds. You know, I mean, he's the goofiest guy in Hollywood. No one can take him seriously.
Yeah, it's one extreme or another. There's no balance.
No.
No balance at all.
I agree.
Ugh. Well, there's probably some joke in there about DC currents.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Balancing, but I'm not an electrician, so I can't take us there. But yeah, I mean, not to end our summer preview on a bummer note, but we had to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Because
it's unavoidable.
So we're dying to know what other people think of this. So, you know, leave us a review or a comment on iTunes. Comment on the post that goes along with the podcast on geekdad.com. Tweet to us, whatever. We want to know what you think of the Dawn of Justice teaser trailer. And we also want to know what your most anticipated movie is this summer. So do that. We want to engage with our audience a little more. And, you know, we'll read some of these in our next show. Our next show is going to be your daughter, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
And that's going to be a lot more fun because it's going to be two clueless old guys trying to figure out
what the hell is Assault on Titan?
Yeah. What is anime? What is, you know, what is the big draw?
In all fairness, you know, I got my daughter started on anime when she was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, watching things like Star Blazers, or as they say in Japan, you know, Battleship Yamato.
Yeah.
And a lot of and of course, Pokemon played a big role in it as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're not ignorant to it.
No, but there's a whole other, I mean...
It's a whole new thing now.
She watches stuff, I have no idea what the hell it is.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in high school, I was watching Ghost in the Machine. I mean, is that what it was called? Ghost in the Machine?
Yeah, oh yeah, Ghost in the Machine.
And...
Akira.
Akira is amazing.
Robotech, all that. There was all a lot that of stuff. Yeah.
But yeah, there's a whole... It's grown so much, and there's this amazing, huge, dedicated, devoted geek audience out there. And we see them as anybody does when they go to any conventions nowadays. So we want to know more about it. And your daughter is an expert on it. So,
Yeah, my daughter works at the Boston Anime Con. So she works at one of the bigger anime conventions of the country. So
we're going to talk to her next time. Yeah. And that should be quite a fun, enlightening conversation.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
So until then, I'm Tony Nunes.
And I'm Rick Rebello.
And this is Hey You Geeks.
This podcast has been a production of the Geek Dad Podcast Network. If you've enjoyed this content, please consider supporting us at patreon.com/geekdad.